Good morning, Southern Arizona, and the rest of you out there in cyberspace. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Beautiful day out there right now. A little dark, but all the lights of Tucson, Arizona are just beaming out here. You're listening to the Simmons Car Care Show here on ESPNTucson.com, 1490 AM, 949 HD4 FM. I'm Jerry Simmons, your host, along with me riding shotgun, and my good buddy, Mr. Jim Mooney from Frontier Towing for all of your towing needs. Been there and towed that. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning, everybody out there in cyberspace. Well, thanks for listening. Remember, live call-in talk show, so feel free to join us. 520-719-1490. 520-719-1490. And remember, folks, it's Saturday again, and that means it's time for Super Safe Saturday. I know you're here and going, gosh, is this guy ever going to give this up? And no, the answer is no, he's not. He's not going to give this up. Because why? Because it's important that you understand the edict of Super Safe Saturday, which is no texting and driving, no drinking and driving. Slow down and move over for vehicles up on the side of the road. That means police cars, fire trucks, mom's grocery getter with the flashing lights on, service workers, construction guys, all those guys. If you've ever experienced being standing on the side of the road, a car moving by you at 70 miles an hour, you'll totally understand. So move over and slow down, give those guys a little bit of room. You don't want to have an imperiling crash. No texting. That means no YouTubing, no TikToking. I know. It's just a quick video. I'm just going to look at it real fast. It's funny. It's not. So let's just not do it. Let's don't and say we did. Isn't that the old model? Let's don't and say we did. If you're working on your car, that's right. If you're working on your car, remember, if you're going to jack it up, put your jack stands down, put your chocks under the wheel, put your keys in your pocket so you don't lock them in the car, put your hood prop up or your trunk prop up, a hatch prop up, disconnect your battery if you're working on electrical, unless you're pulling codes. Keep your long sleeve shirts away from rotating masses like fans and fan belts and alternators, things like that. Jerry's tip of the day is don't stand in front of the car if it's running in case it wants to magically pop into gear. Has happened, seen it, been there, done that one. And buy yourself some good gloves and wear your safety glasses. I think that's everything, Jerry. I think I got it all. Safety glasses.
Doing well, you know. Get you a good set of gloves and wear them. Put them on your hands. That's where they belong. They don't belong in a seat or laying on the side of a fender. Put them on your hands. And same way with safety glasses or shield. I like the big shield, like they have a welder's, except you just get a clear shield. And you can use it for welding, too, for chipping slag and stuff. But that thing works really good. And if you wear, especially if you like Jim and you have to wear the reader so you can see, or Jerry, you can put them on.
You're
and
right.
It doesn't, you don't get as much water on your glasses as you do when you're just wearing your little safety glasses and you got that little, you know, little bubble over your, you know, over your eyes. So it just makes it a little more comfortable. But anything to keep it out of your face and it keeps it out of your teeth. This is a true story. Had a guy, a Vietnam veteran that worked for me years and years and years ago, who was working on a early model Chevrolet pickup around a 66. And he had a wind gun, you know, an air gun, a torque wrench, and is working on a front bumper. And so I looked out there about the time it hit the fan, and he was using his torque gun on bumper bolts and changing the bumper because the bumper had been, the guy had hit it on the side and he just wanted to change it out and put another bumper on. He had a face shield on, He had a pair of safety glasses under the face shield. Don't know why he had the safety glasses under the face shield, because he didn't use the readers. And he was using that. And I watched it. All of a sudden, the wind gun, for some reason, spit the nut that was supposed to go on a bolt to hold the bumper on off. The bumper on those old trucks were rounded on the edges, so they go around the contour of the fenders. That son of a gun, that that nut come off the end of that, I think is about a half-inch bolt or something, and it spun to the right, and then it went all the way around to the left and ricocheted off of the edge of the bumper, come under the face shield, and broke his two front teeth.
Oh, Lord.
He couldn't have had anything. He couldn't have had anything. I watched it. I seen it happen. And I'm saying, I don't know exactly how you're going to protect that. I mean, that is one of the weird things that classifies as an accident. But he broke his teeth, but he took it in or went in, and they were fine. But he was a safety nut, and one of those guys. And I've only known two people like that, and both of them actually got hurt. And they were safety conscious every time they picked up a wrench and moved around a car. If a car's jacked up in the air, they had a helmet on when they went around the rear trailer hitch to keep them whacking their head. But you can do everything you can possibly do to stay safe, and there's no guarantee that you have covered everything that you can possibly think of, because that wrench, that nut on the end of that thing, I don't know how it come off. The only thing I can figure is he may have had it in the reverse. When he got ready to put it on, he may have hit the reverse button. And the good wrenches have got a lot of torque and a lot of speed. And that's the only thing that I can think of. But anyway, do safety first. I agree with Jim 1,000% on this one. Do your safety first, then go out and do it. Don't start to work on a car and say, okay, I'm going to open the hood, I'm going to look in there and see what I need. No, you're going to open the hood, you're going to put the guard on the hood to keep it from falling down. If it's got bad little hydraulic shocks on it, you're going to put something like a broomstick or a mop handle. I don't care what you put in there. But when you put it in, make sure you seat it so that you can't touch the mop handle and everything come apart and it fall on your head. Because I'll guarantee if you put a mop handle in there, you will hit it with either your right arm or your left arm, and it needs to be setting solid. And that way you won't carry the scars on it, because that's something that you don't even want to take that off your bucket list, because you don't want to experience it to take it off your bucket list. So, and Jim is absolutely correct. Safety. I was talking to another shop owner this week about people and people's ability to work on these cars. Okay. Jim, how many people do you think can work on the cars now? Late model cars, no older than 3 years old.
Well, probably not a lot. I mean, let's start with Chrysler. If you have a Chrysler car 2019 and up, you just can't even plug an OBD2 scanner into the port and read the codes. So if I got the little scanner, and you go to AutoZone and you're going to scan it. I'm not knocking AutoZone. You go to someplace and scan it. You're not going to scan mm-hmm. it. You can't do it. No, you have to. This is the craziest thing on the planet. I'm going to go off on this little tangent because this is Chrysler, and I can't believe they actually did this. So Chrysler 2019 said, we're going to show you that we're going to keep you in our store. I guess. This is the only thing I can think of. So we're going to have an OBD2 port, and we're going to either rewire it or we're not going to make it accessible to you, the general public. So we'll go ahead and create these two other plugs, and we're going to connect them to this box, black box. We'll call it a black box for the sake of a better term. Not really sure what it does other than to hold these two plugs, but it must do some processing. And we're going to hide it in the dash. Okay. So you got to find it, unplug these plugs, get a Y adapter, plug these plugs into the Y adapter, and then plug it into your OBD2 scanner. And then you can look at the codes. Doesn't mean you can clear them. Doesn't mean you can do anything with them, but you can see them. Okay. So where is this box at? I don't know. Let's take a look. So on a Dodge 2500, 1500, 2500, it's behind the headlight switch. It's about, if you crawl it underneath by the brake pedal, it's about 8 inches up. And Brian Fuller could really tell you where they're all at. I can only tell you where a few are at, but it's about 8 inches up. There ain't no way to see it. You got to reach your hand up in there blind and try and pull these plugs out. And by the way, the plugs got like 24 and 32 pins each. Little tiny needle pins. So you can imagine that if you take it apart incorrectly, you're going to bend one of the pins. Oh, by the way, vice versa when you go to put it back together. Because you can't see it. There isn't no way to put a light there. You can't. You might see it with a borescope, but you can't get your hand in there to reach it. On the 3500s, the 4500s, and the 5500s, you got to pull the instrument cluster out. What?
Oh, my God.
What did you just say? Yeah, you got to pull the steering wheel down, pull the bezel off the instrument cluster, pull the there's a there's two basic there's these plastic covers, shields or beauty rings, right? You got to pull them off. You got to take the screws out. Oh, and no, you can't get them off, and you can't get the one cover off unless you take the dash, the radio out because it goes underneath, right? The little cut, the plastic shields. Take the screws out, weasel that sucker out of there, and trying not to scratch the glass, and reach your hand behind the instrument cluster so you can get to these plugs. But that I will give Chrysler credit. They left a long lead on the instrument cluster so you can pull it up, weasel it out of the way. I don't know. Put your hand back there. And yes, folks, it's inside the dashboard of the vehicle. And if you've ever been inside the dashboard of a vehicle, you'll know that it's has a sheet metal superstructure. And, they didn't take the time to really, clean off all the sharp edges and the little pieces of exposed steel. So rest assured, it's going to hurt going in. you're going to get some battle scars. And I'm just like, so this was a genius idea because we didn't want you to work on our car. So, no, the answer to Jerry's question is, oh, by the way, why don't you take it apart, read the codes, if you got a code reader that will read them, and you can see them. You can't really clear them because you got to subscribe to Chrysler's website and have an account to get into them.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So just to do anything, and you're the general public, I'm sorry, sir, you're not. Are you a mechanic? Are you an auto repair shop? Do you have a license? Can you give me your credentials? No, you're not getting one. You're not a trusted partner of our network, so you're not getting an account. And if you do, it's you don't even want to know how expensive it is because it's highly expensive. And like cable TV, you got to pay for it every year, whether you use it or not. And if you don't use it every year, you get to have two subscriptions because you didn't pay for last year's subscription because you didn't need it. So you want to get this year's subscription, so you get to pay last year's subscription so you can have this year's subscription. Don't you just love technology? I'm just like, really? So I
hey,
get
it's
so
a all, it's a money.
It's a money
it's all
thing.
Money.
It's a money
yeah.
thing. So
if you want to fire off Brian, Mr. Test First Don't Guess, ask him how long it takes you to reprogram a computer, reprogram a car. Either any manufacturer, you know, and he'll get it on there. But we can't put him on the airway when you ask him that, because I'm going to tell you,
I don't blame
he gets
good,
radical.
Good idea.
He just absolutely fires off, because there you can't. It's not like the OBD1 or anything like that. The OBD2, and you've got all your computers talking and running checks all time. The vehicle is rolling. You've got sensors checking out stuff, and you can have a pack rat in there. And I heard some wild stories on pack rats this week. You can have a pack rat in a car, these late model cars, and when you get ready to go find where the damage is, you can find the evidence under the hood. You can raise a hood, and, oh, there's mesquite beans and cactus and all this stuff. And so what you think, okay, well, I think I'll just clean that out. Okay, you better get your HEPA mask, put it on. If you're going to use a wind gun, don't use a wind gun is my recommendation. And I'll tell you why. Because all that dirt and poop and all that stuff has a tendency to come up. I don't care if you're wearing a face shield. It'll come inside the face shield at you. And but you get the cactus out. Use a pair of tongs or borrow your tongs out of your wife's kitchen. You know, the ones you reach into the pan and get out the potatoes or the whatever you're cooking and you need that. You can use the tongs. Wear some gloves also. And you reach in and you get all this stuff, lay it off the engine, out of everything, and take your time. Because while you're looking at that, you can also look to see if you see any damage. But get it all out from there, and then take a garden hose and lay it up on top and just start rinsing stuff off, just like you're washing a diamond or something like that. You don't want to drop this thing too far. I need to make sure that that's all that I get here. But clean it off with that. And then when you get done, use a pine saw, use something to disinfect the engine area. And that includes the inside of the framing and stuff on the bottom side where they originally come up through the bottom. They don't come in little parachutes and do this acrobatic stuff like you see on TV. They come in under the headlight or something on a parachute and land in there. That don't happen. They actually come up from the bottom. They bring stuff up from the bottom that you look at and go, how'd they do that? I mean, you can't even see the bottom of the ground down through an engine compartment, but yet they got a tree stub in there, 3 foot long. They're pretty ingenious. They figured it out. But when they get in there and they start chewing on those wires, this is a true story. It happened to Parker Automotive and one of his clients. They fixed pack rat damage on the car. Two different times. And then the third time, this is like at a period of 2 months. And the last one, they didn't have to fix, because she got a call while she was in a grocery store, actually a Walmart. And it was from the fire department telling her that her car is on fire in a parking lot. And it was caught on fire because of pack rat damage. Pack rat shorted it out and a nest. And this was 30 days after Parker had fixed the other one. And then that other one was like a 2 week period or something before from the first one that they fixed. So Parker did nothing wrong. Pack rats, you can't park it. And if you've got pack rat damage and you're parking it in the same spot and you get the same damage, just remember, if you keep doing the same thing, expecting a different results, it don't work that way. Pack rats, you have to get rid of their nest. And contrary to popular belief, pack rats do not share their nest with nobody, except if a mama has a babies. They don't share. It's one pack rat. Now, when Mr. Packrat was in business, he closed down. I don't know if it's temporary or permanent, But I used to have him on the show, and we used to talk about that. And he said he opened a nest, and when he got it open, there was a rattlesnake rolled up sitting right beside of a pack rat, and both of them were sitting there looking at him. And then he told me, says, rattlesnakes only eat about once every 2 weeks. So evidently, that pack rat has figured out when the rattlesnake eats. And he takes his vacation at that point, which is good. But when I first moved out here and started chasing down pack rats in hotels, I took a tractor. I dug a pack rat nest out of the ground that was 4 foot, 48 inches deep. It looked like a condo. And I mean, there was ground stuff to everywhere. The hole wound up to be about probably 6 foot, 7 foot wide. And 48 inches at the deepest spot. And it was just huge. You've got to get rid of the pack rat where they live. And this has been on. We've been dancing with pack rat damages. You know, there, and then Mike over at Parker showed me a video, live video of the mechanic going inside the fender well on a car. And there was a noise under there, and they pulled out a live rabbit. The guy actually had, it was on a YouTube, you know, somebody taped it. And he pulled out a live rabbit out of that thing. Now, we've seen a lot of stuff like hawks and stuff like that. It wind up in brake calipers on the cars on the freeways. At road speeds, they're down after something, and you just happen to hit them. Pack rats are non-discriminatory. They will go in. Originally, on the wiring, they used a peanut butter oil to put the shield over the wire. They put it on the inside so it didn't stick as bad. Well, the rats can smell that stuff, and they love peanut butter. So they go in there and they eat it up. They short it out. Then you start having problems. When you've got probably, I don't know how many miles. I remember a quarter of a mile of wiring inside of a car, and that's about a 10-year-old statistic. They probably got, I have no idea how many miles of wire they have in these cars. But if you get a short in one of the wires from a bite from a pack rat, and when you're looking for the thing, you look at the bottom side of the wire. Look, say, okay, if I were a pack rat, where would I sit in order to eat that wire above me? Where, how would I get access to this? They have to be able to sit someplace in order. They don't hang on the wire upside down and say, okay, I'm going to eat. Well, I can't say that because I don't know for sure. I mean, I've seen some messes that you can't even comprehend. How, you know, Brian's seen them. Brian and Parker's seen them. Simmons has seen them. We had a Cadillac that come in out of the foothills. And he was complaining about his gas gauge didn't read or something. And come in, so we put it up on a rack. If you want to see four technicians boogie, let a pack rat come out of top of a gas tank while it's up on the rack, and it hits the floor. Because when they hit the floor, the pack rat don't know where he's going. And the technicians around there, when they see it, they just, it's an automatic get out of the way for this thing. And I think that's probably just a little more response to a pack rat than you will to a rattlesnake if you have a rattlesnake up in there. But I've been in business over 50 years now, and I haven't seen a rattlesnake come in a car, but I have seen a lot of pack rat damages. Cars that have stuff in it where they put so many mesquite beans in it in a Lexus that you couldn't shut the hood without it compressing the mesquite beans in to the accelerator, and it wouldn't allow the accelerator to retract when you take your foot off of it. It was plumb full. I mean, it was just full. But
So when you're dealing with pack rats, there's, if you live in Tucson and you live anywhere in the outside area, anywhere, you know, where there's pack rats around, take a look and look for the pack rats. Because it, if you find anything that shows a pack rat nest or anything like that, it needs to be gone bye-bye, okay? They've got a lot of organizations, a lot of businesses that actually do pack rat removal. I did mine with a tractor, and that worked out pretty good for years and years and years until they parked a vehicle on my motorhome down on the west side of the property down next to hay barn. And the thing on the immediate west side of that was just desert. And it stayed down there from a Friday. They moved it out because they needed all the parking space because they had a surprise birthday party for me. I went down there Monday morning to get it. And when I fired it up, it runs about, it run like a piece of junk. And so when I pulled it up and raised the hood from Friday night until Monday morning, that little booger had went in, ate the insulation off the inside of the hood, took it and made a nest on top of the battery, and eat some more AC line, I think is what they eat, and some more electrical lines. And just from Friday night till Monday morning, and it's not like it wasn't people around there because they're right beside my hay barn where I feed my animals. And it was just, it was horrible. So you can park it. The recommendation is park it and have 50-foot clearance around 360 degrees on your vehicles. I will tell you that's a good start. The better start is to actually put lights under it. In other words, when you pull in, if you're going to park it in your garage, put a string of lights under it and drive over the top of the lights, not with the wheels. Measure it out, set them in there, and drive that car right over the top of it and have the whole bottom of it. Make it look like it's in a car show. And that seems to be one of the best things that you can do for it. If you live out and you don't have that option, raise your hood. And people said, well, what if they steal my battery? I'm going to tell you something. If you have pack rat damage in there and you have to have a technician go in and clean it up, you're going to spend more money on that than you are a battery. And I don't care what that battery costs. It can cost $400. You're still money ahead if you put a light under there. Just get it handled. But they've tried everything in the world, according to Mr. Pack Rat. When I've had him on the show probably six times, and he kept telling me, he said, you can buy all of the urine on a coyote that they put on the market. That will deter pack rat a couple of days, and that's it. And people put this soap and stuff under the hood that works really well. But when you get in it and you fire, it's the green soap, like our spring. You get in your car and you turn it on. Well, the air conditioning and your outside filtration system picks up all this stuff. It'll actually make you sick in your car, especially in the summertime when it's hot. You turn that son of a gun on, turn that air conditioning on. Does it work? Yeah, it works a little bit. But I've also seen it where the pack rats eat the soap. So there is no one super cure. I think the only way you could probably do it is if you had your car, you put it up on a stand someplace of four pipes coming up to the bottom. I envision this thing going up about 6 foot, and then you put grease or something to lube the pipe so that little boogers can't crawl up it. And you don't put it too close to the ground because they can jump. They do climb. They're good at that. But there is no easy way to do it. The best thing you can do is pay attention to your car. Go out, raise the hood. If you're in a pack rat area, I can tell you war stories about guys taking hammers to their kitchen and beating a wall down and having to pay a contractor to come in and rebuild the walls in her kitchen because he was mad because he couldn't get a hold of, couldn't figure out where the pack rats were. I got a brand new home out here. I got 7 pack rats out of it, out of the roof, up top, up in the where all the wires and all that stuff is run, up in the roof. Within 4 months after I built my home, and the only access they did, they crawled up the side of the building and went under the tile roof and climbed in. But I use one of those to have a heart traps, and I got 7 of them out of there when I first started realizing what they're done. And I mean, the only thing I could do is put some peanut butter inside that have a heart trap, set it back in there, and cross my fingers. But it did work, and I got all 7. I brought one out of the top and set him down in the floor in the garage, and he was so big he run against the side of the trap and turned it over, got out, and I had to re-catch him in my garage with more peanut butter. So you can do it, but if you ignore them, especially if they get in to your vehicle on your property, and you say, okay, now what can I do? If you don't know how to get rid of them, you call somebody specialized in removing pack rats, and you ask them, they're going to have to remove them. How do I prevent them from being in eating my cars, eating my house? And you get on it because they're not going to go away. You have to have them physically removed. So keep ahead of that. And then if you want to hear some more war stories, I'll tell you about the guy that spent $1,900 on a Toyota Prius. They got, pack rats got in it. And Jim, another buddy of mine over at Certified Electric, he got stuck with making a wiring harness for that one. So when you have this damage on these late model cars, just remember, they may not have the parts even available. Like in wiring looms, you get a wiring harness for a car, you're going to spend that. They'll probably, the insurance company will cover the first one and probably the second one. But I don't know. In fact, they're still covering it. It's kind of like catalytic converters been stolen. But they'll cover it. But when you get into replacing wiring looms, the insurance companies can go ahead and say, okay, we'll total loss this car. That's how expensive those wiring looms are. If it gets after an electric car or a hybrid car or a regular late model car that's got 35, 40 computers in them, because when that stuff starts smoking, it gets serious. And anyway, that's my little tech tip for you. And I remembered that after I spotted a pack rat running from my tractor about 3 days ago. That tractor had been sitting there for about 4 hours. So they are alerted.
Chime in on your pack rat.
Go ahead, Jim.
electric vehicles are not exempt from pack rats, folks. And opening the front where the engine used to be does not help you because there's nothing there to see. So normally you'd open the hood and maybe you could stick a light and you can see the ground. Doesn't work that way on an electric vehicle. You open the front or the frunk, you know, whatever, or the storage compartment, and there's just an apartment there where you put your stuff, right? And electric vehicles have a lot of shrouds, a lot of little places. And so pack rats find it very easy to find their way in to a place where you can't see them. You're not going to be able to see the 3-foot-long stick because everything's covered up. So they get in there, and they start chewing on the wires. Now, an electric vehicle system, is different than gas cars, right? So repairing an electric vehicle is very, very difficult. You're going to start buying harnesses. Also, when they chew the wires, it's not like you can turn the key on and maybe something will come on but it won't start, or maybe it'll start but it won't run right. It just won't turn on because there's no power, which means it's dead. It's not moving. It's not going into neutral. It's not rolling. You're not opening the doors. You're doing nothing because there's no power, because they've chewed the wires off, either the computer, the battery, the drive battery. And so those damages are very, very expensive. Towed a bunch of them. People drive Teslas. They drive Leafs. They drive Bolts, and they park them in the desert. And those little suckers get right up underneath there, and they start going to town. If you leave it for any length of time, the damage just keeps compounding. So, and maybe you get away with it one day. Maybe they've done some damage and you don't know it, and you get away with it one day, because it's not like you can open the hood and see, because there's, well, again, it's all shrouded up. So you have to be super, super careful, like Jerry said. That kind of damage can be very, very expensive. When they start pulling harnesses on a Tesla, they don't graft them back together, folks. This is not where they strip them back and put some wire nuts on there. Those harnesses are super specific, and they have very tight resistance tolerances. Because it's all computerized, that the computer looks for a certain, as like in most cars, they look for a signal voltage drop over a certain area. The repairs, I've watched the guys take them out, and you know, it's like a spaghetti loom when they pull that puppy out. And it's that they tear the front of the car down to get that system done. And they don't, you know, we're talking about wires that are low voltage, you know, maybe 20, 12 volts. And we're talking about wires that are high voltage, 600, 700 volt wires. That's not something that those guys want to mess with. So, you know, you can't just, you know, splice that together with a couple of butt connectors and hope it works. It doesn't work that way. Be aware that when you get pack rat damage on an electric vehicle, it can set you back just a little bit more than you think. So when Jerry says, make sure you guys don't have them or keep an eye out for them, he means it. And throwing a light under the car doesn't work on an electric car. Too many shrouds. Can't see anything. You know, we're talking a hole, what, the size of a dime, Jerry, a quarter? Those little guys get up in there, and it's all over with. It's all over with the crying. So
I had $2,800 worth done on a motorhome from pack rat.
$2,800 on a motorhome. Oh my gosh.
On a motorhome. And I looked under the bottom, and it's got the shrouds all over the bottom and stuff like that. And it had one that was a water line that come out, and around the water line, it was probably less than 5/8 clearance, but they had went up through that. We actually tracked it to that, but the results was $2,800 worth. I mean, everything from the electric jacks to everything in there. Because one, you're not looking at a motorhome every day or once a week consistently, and you know, all of a sudden we spotted some debris up in one of the storage cabinets all the way in the front. Well, they went in from the back and went under the undercarriage all the way to the front. And then we had to start backtracking. And that was incredible. And while the guy was out here working on it, I hired a guy to come out to the place. I was looking for, he told me, he said, if you've got some time, see if you can find out where these little boogers are coming in at. And I like to never found it. And I mean, they had been camping in there for probably 2-3 months. So it was a mess. And that, I mean, it was the wiring and stuff still worked. We still had juice. But I just hit it long enough to find out that we did have juice, which means everything's still connected. However, you had to see the wires and stuff. I mean, they just had a field day chewing those things up. So when we say protect yourself, protect your home, protect your cars, because you get them in there, and you also, every now and then, that's the reason I recommend, just take a peek under your hood. If you've got an electric vehicle, I don't know what to tell you. But if you've got a regular vehicle and you can raise the hood and look under there and see if you spot anything that, like a cactus or poop or chewed wire or something that's out of the ordinary, like the insulation off the top of the hood or anything. And the batteries come wrapped now in a regular wrap on the outside, like an insulator of the batteries. And I've seen it where the pack rats actually chew the insulation off and use it to make beds, you know, but it'll be chewed out around the battery. And, you know, the only saving grace on a Tesla is if you get the right wire, it should light your fire. I'm talking about the pack rats, not the car. And so... But I don't see.
So.
Huh?
You'd hope to think so.
What'd you say? You got to believe in something. Yeah. If you've ever had a car fire, you will have a different perspective on pack rats. You know, it's just like Parker's client. This just happened not too long ago, and but it was just from pack rats. But people, if you've got a pack rat that keeps eating your car and you park it in one place, change the place you park it, you know, because it's not going to get any better unless you get that little creature. He's going to keep coming back. Hey, this is a smorgasbord. All I got to do is go back to the same place. I can crawl up in there and do that thing. If you clean a car, remember, if you clean a car for pack rat damage and stuff under the hood and get all of that stuff out, do not put pack rat killer in the frame horns or anything on a car or a pickup, because they take the poison pellets that you just gave to them, which is very tasty, and then they go back to their nest in the frame, and that's where they actually die. So you've just fed them, and I'm telling you something, when they get into that fake firewall between your original firewall and the engine cabin, you have to use a you have to use a borescope to find out where their nest is. Well, you've got to have access to go in through it, so you get the borescope in there. It's just like people working on you at the doctor's office. If they're going in, check your heart, they want to see what's going on internally. They go up through a vein or something with a little scope. Well, same thing on this car. And on this truck, we went in, we finally found it. We had to take a 2-inch hole saw and get the approval and say, okay, we found it. Now, the only access we have to get this mess out of here is we have to cut a hole in the secondary firewall. We can put a plate back on it once we get it, but we've got to get it. People, we did. We got everybody's approval on it. Went out there, got the 2-inch hole saw in it. Technician lined up on it. We measured it out based on where it was, where we were pretty sure it was. Well, we hit it dead center. I mean, dead center. The rat that was inside was dead, had maggots all over itself, and it was just, and we opened it up. It was just, it was the stinkingest, biggest mess I've ever seen. It was on a pickup. And so when we drilled that out, and when it hit the floor, it wasn't a pack rat that hit the floor. It was the maggots. It was absolutely, it was horrible. I'm sorry if you're eating breakfast this morning. Good Lord. I need to clean this up a little bit. But it was, we got it out, and we didn't immediately close up the hole because we needed it to air out. We had to use we used some big long needle nose pliers with big handles, like 12-inch handles and stuff, to get the pack rat nest out, the rest of the nest. And then we had to spray it down. We sprayed it down with Lysol. We sprayed it down with everything that we could use for cleaning the smell and stuff. What happened, and also what we found in there, was about half of one of those pellets, the poison pellets. And when we asked the customer about it, he said, yeah, I put them at the end of the rails. Well, the end of the rail on the frame rail was back behind the cabin of the cab on the truck. And so this, they got it. They took it all the way to the nest, which is in the firewall, the engine side of the firewall. And that's where the nest was. And that's where they died. That's where they expired. So it took us, I want to say, about 30 days during the monsoon season. And we were glad it was a monsoon because we had done used every kind of disinfectant that you can use and still had a smell. We had to park it back in the back, leave the windows down, leave the hood up, the windows down, everything it had, you know, that would stop anything, we had to eliminate it. And it took over 30 days to get the smell out of that thing. And, I mean, we were regularly treating it. We used every fancy thing that we could find, and it was just a mess. But Mama, who drove it, evidently told her husband, no, that truck is not coming back on the property until it smells clean. I don't care what it takes. It's got to be clean. And I agree with it because dead rats are gross. Dead anything is gross, actually. So there it is in a nutshell. So if you're playing with pack rats, Google it and don't believe most of the stuff that they tell you about. Okay, well, you can get this and you can, I mean, you can put this in there. Man, I'm guaranteeing you. It's kind of like using CBD for everything from diabetes to all of this. You know, it's a cure-all. No, it's not. Neither is all of the different things you hear about getting rid of pack rats. I had tried every. We had a customer call in, or listening client call in, and he said that the only thing he found out that worked, and we're still laughing about this one. He said, I'd go around every night, I'd park my car in, and I'd pee on the tire. And he said, I didn't have any more pack rat problems. And I'm going, that's about the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. However, it worked for him. I don't recommend you doing it because, you know, depending on where you live. But if you use the lights, place them under the car, under the frame, in the traffic area. And when you clean the under the hood, around the car, take it to a car wash, use a high-pressure wand, and go down and around the brake calipers and stuff like that. But once you clean it, then you have to spray a disinfectant, like a Lysol or something in the department to kill the smell so they can't track back up the inside of the wheels. That's the biggest thing I see. All right, now, I'm done talking about that. What, you got anything you want to add, Jim? I can't add any more than that.
You got it covered pretty good, I got to say. I mean, folks, I can't imagine anybody who's listening to this radio hasn't experienced pack rats, so let's just go with that. If you haven't, you know, that's truly an experience. You know, we've all seen them. We've all dealt with them. And, you know, like Jerry said, it's the best thing to do is do what you can to keep from getting them, you know, in your life, because they do cause a ton of havoc, you know. And if, you know, I was just sitting there thinking about the pack rat with the maggots, Jerry. I can't tell you how many I've seen dead whatever in vehicles, and it looks just like that. And you're just like, oh, good Lord, you know, what are we doing with that car? You know what we're going to do with that car? We're going to send it to the shredder. Why? Because then we won't have to deal with it ever again. We'll load that puppy up and haul it to the crusher. Those guys will crush that. But you know what? Everything will go with it. Because I'm going to tell you, if you've never experienced that, that is a true experience, having to deal with something like that. And you're just looking at it thinking, how in the heck did this all come to play? And it's nasty. It's bad. Good Lord, you just can't imagine it. And you're sitting there scratching your head thinking, man, this is just, I can't believe how evasive these little things are. And, you see a little bit of debris, you open your hood because the car's been sitting a week, right? It's at a week, you open the hood and there's there's a nest on top. There's everything on top. And, of course, you reach in there thinking you're just going to pull it out. And I know that the 3-foot stick looks, not dangerous, but it has needles stuck on it. For some reason, the cactus needles just seem to attach to everything. So you can rest. I usually go get myself, this is no lie, folks, I get myself a pair of welding gloves, and I usually throw them out at the end. Why? Because they're full of needles, and you can't use them anymore. But they're the only thing you can reach in to get the stuff out with. I mean, I've tried the tongs, and I've used vacuum cleaners, but there's some, you see that 3-foot stick weaseled in there, you think, how did this pack rat weasel that stick in there in one piece? I can't even figure out how he got it in there. I can't get it out without cutting it in 3 pieces. So, got to give them credit for their ingenuity. But
when you go in there to get it, all the debris out, you got to ask yourself, self, where's the guy that put all this stuff in here? Is he still in here? Or am I going to open this air filter box and he's going to look at me and jump out and scare me to death? Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. I've seen that. I've had it happen to me. Brian Fuller had one get loose in his shop, come out of the air filter, out of the filter with it shut. You come out of the air filter. And Brian said that's the funniest thing he's ever seen in his life. He said they chased that son of a gun around his building for over 30 minutes before they could ever figure out where to go. He'd chased out of one hole, they'd go someplace else. But, yeah, you haven't lived until you've tried to find pack rat damage. Any technician that's looking at that, we use smoke injectors to check out vacuum lines, because if you're trying to do it just by sight, good luck. We found that's the reason we have smoke injectors. We put them on there. That's the first thing we do to find out what we have as far as vacuum. And that also tells you a little bit about, are you going to really have damage from them, or did you catch it early enough? And then you've got to make sure that everything is clean, like Jim is talking about, before you put your hands down in there. Because if you're wearing mechanics gloves, that's great. But you need a flashlight and a mirror when you start in to these little hidden spots on the backside of an engine or down around the side, so that you can actually look at the underside of these wiring looms and stuff. Because if you take the only way you're going to find them by hand and feel is if you pull those gloves off. I mean, they're just too thick to give you a feeling of a pack rat actually skinning a wire on the bottom side. So, that's what you pay for. You pay for the time it takes to find these critters, what they've actually done, and then you want to, once you fix it, you want to try to prevent it. And, I mean, if you've got to park daggone thing down the block, half a block or something like that, make sure it's insured so in case they steal your car, you still got your car. But just remember what I'm telling you about the lights. Just remember what I'm telling you about the lights. They eat my first tractor that I had when I moved out here out and built a home and stuff. They eat my first tractor, and I'm going, I can't believe I actually sat here and let them little stinkers get in here and eat. I thought I had everybody. Nope. And what I did is I put a light, an extension cord, raised the hood on the tractor, hung the extension cord up there, plugged that sucker in. No more pack rats. it was enough room inside where the light could get from the top all the way down to the ground. On most of the cars, you have to put the light under the bottom because it's got all the shields and all the covers on top of the engine, and you can't, you can go in there. I put a light in there and then looked to see. Trust me on this one. You can get under there, you can hang a light up top, and then you can get down and look at the bottom on the ground. You don't even have light coming through the bottom. I mean, it's everything's blocked off. So, and that's the little thing that you can buy at Ace Hardware. What is that? Ritterette? Yeah, Ritterette. And
Ritterette,
it's a blinking light that you put inside. And people, they say, yeah, Jerry, I even got one of those and put it in there and said, man, I'm telling you, it just didn't work at all. Well, okay. Yeah, maybe they got used to it. Maybe they couldn't see it because most people raise the hood and said, oh, this is a good place for it, and they put it light there. Well, he before you put the screws into the panels to hold it there, you need to put it in, let it start blinking. And then get that thing up on a rack in a garage, or look down at the bottom. Take your mirror and put it on the end of a mop panel or something, and tape that sucker to it, and slide it under there, and see if you can see that light from the bottom. Because if you can't see it, that means that the pack rat probably can't see it either, and they're still going to get in. But that seems to be the major problem. I mean, we can. And sure enough, I put one on my 99 Ford, and I put it down there. I mounted that thing twice. I laid it up one time to see if I could see it from the bottom, because I know that the little boogers don't come in a parachute. And so it was, but by the way, that's where that 3 foot long stick was on the top of V10 motor. And, but when I put it in on the top side, I hardwired mine to the ignition system so that when you turn the ignition off, it comes on. But when you turn the ignition on, the light goes off. And I didn't have any more problem at all after that. But it did take me a couple of days to get it all cleaned up and filled out. That's where I didn't know that they could take a stick that big and take it up to a 3/4 ton truck and go up in the 4-wheel drive in the engine compartment and lay it on top of a motor. And I looked at it, I said, how do you get that in there? I just, I couldn't even see the clearance for them to even get it up there. So, yeah, it was a peach cactus too. It wasn't just a stick. All right, got 30 seconds, Jim. I think we better close it out on the pack rats. Anybody, by the way, you can still call in 719-1490-520. Any pack rat stories or anybody that has a clue what else can work to keep these things out of there. So we're going to take a break right here at the top of the hour, fill up the coffee cup or your tea cup in Jim's case, and we'll talk automotive when we get back. We'll be right back after these messages.